Yossi, I want to share with you an incredible idea from Rabbi Nachman from the Kutei Halachas. The Rebbe comments on the beginning of this week's parasha by Yechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. Yaakov, who lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years, Vayhi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayov Sheva Shanim Ve'arboim Ume'as Shana. These are the years of Yaakov Avinu's life, 7 years and 140 years. And the Rebbe begins by saying as follows. Mevuar b'div Rebbe singo zal b'medrash rabo prat b'zohar ha-kodesh b'parsha zos. So, the Rebbe here quotes the medrash and the zohar that say as follows. An incredible medrash. She'osan sheva esrei shana, hayu ikar yimei chayov shechai b'simcha v'nachos, kimo shekosav sham b'zohar ha-kodesh. That the 17 years that Yaakov Avinu lived in Mitzrayim, that those were, that it was like the pinnacle, the apex of his simcha. Those years were lived with simcha and nachos, incredible happiness, incredible tranquility. Ulechor temu adavar. So, you have to understand what the Medrash is ultimately saying, seems to be saying, is that the simcha that Yaakov Avinu experienced in Mitzrayim was even greater than anything he had previously experienced in Eretz Kinan. That these 17 years were the most simchadik, the most tranquil years of his life. In fact, again, the Medrash actually points out that the numerical value of the word Tov is 17. So the Gemara says that ultimately, right, the test of Avin Avay is 17. That those 17 years were Tov, those 17 years were good. So asks the Rebbe, I don't understand. Ulechora temua hadavar shekishaya yoshev beretz Yisrael lo yashav b'shalva uberetz Mitzrayim shimakom tamei shaz hischil galos Mitzrayim shemeru es chayehem sham daik yashav b'shalva. So Rebbe says, I don't understand it. Is it actually possible to say that the years that Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Canaan, there was no tranquility, there was no shalom, there was no simcha? Or to say a little bit differently, is it possible to say that the years that he lived in Mitzrayim possessed more simcha, more tranquility, more happiness than his years in Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, I understand that it's good to be in Mitzrayim ultimately because he's reunited with his family. And I understand that it's good to be in Mitzrayim because the entire mishpacha is together. But the way the Medrash is worded, the way that the Zohar is worded, is that it sounds like these years in Mitzrayim were almost to a certain degree like the most simchadik, shalvadik, tranquil years. Granted, the last 2 years of Yaakov Avinu's life in Eretz Canaan were certainly incredibly difficult and tranquil. But there were many years before, I mean, not many, but there were a few years before everything kind of got a little bit crazy for Yaakov Avinu, where he was able to live in some level of tranquility in the land. Yet, again, the Medrash, the Zohar, seem to indicate that these years in Mitzrayim were especially unique. Ach kol zeh. So the Rebbe explains this so beautifully. And he goes on, he says one more time, l'chor temu adavar. The matter is very strange. Shekishahaya yoshev beretz Yisrael lo yashar b'shalva. When he was in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have tranquility. Ube'eretz Mitzrayim shimakom tamei. Egypt was the pinnacle, was not just, you know, the cradle of civilization, was the cradle of impurity. Shaz hischil galus Mitzrayim. Remember again when Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, that's the beginning of diaspora. That's the beginning of exile. Could it be that it's dafka there when Yaakov Avinu is in Mitzrayim? Again, the depths of impurity, the depths of unholiness, the beginning of servitude. And it's there that Yaakov finds simcha, it's there that Yaakov finds shalva. And the Rebbe says something so beautiful and so simple. Ach kol zeh hu inyan sason v'simcha yasigu v'chulei. Says the Rebbe, "She'ikar shlemas hasimcha bo yisparach sheze ikar achius, hu kishem iskabin lachtov es hayagon va'anacha lahapcho lesimcha." The Rebbe says something amazing. The greatest accomplishment in life is the ability to take sadness and to turn it into joy. The ability to take adversity and to turn it into celebration. Sheze ikar haber mehechali hatmurus. Shehu ayidei simcha. Now this is amazing. There's a concept in halacha called tmuras, in sacrificial law, that if you designate an animal if you designate an animal as a carbon, you are not allowed to come and swap out that animal for another animal. Even if the second animal is superior to the first, once you designate an animal as a carbon, you cannot go ahead and designate another carbon instead. You have to stick with your first choice. And if indeed you do try to substitute a second animal for the first, there's a penalty. V'hayahu usmura so kodesh l'Hashem. Both animals become consecrated. So the Rebbe is quoting over here a Kabbalistic concept that when a person takes sadness and replaces it with joy, person is able to take tsar and is able to reframe it and to turn it into simcha. So not only is the simcha simcha, but the energy of the tsar is also converted to simcha. He says, "She'ikur shlemos ha-simcha bo yisbar, she'ikur achiyus, the ikur of simcha, kishamiskabrim lachtov es hayagon va'anacha, v'hapcholus simcha." When you take sadness, difficulty, adversity, and you turn it around to simcha, that's the ikr simcha. That is the ikr joy and celebration in life. V'ha'ikr, ayde shemachlifin u'mahapchin hayagon va'anacha l'simcha. The greatest accomplishment in life is when you take yagon and anacha, pain, difficulty, and you transform it into joy. U'klal hadavar, ki kol avodas ha'avos ha'yelegalos u'lehodia elokusa ba'olam. We know the klal gadol is that the entire avoda of the avos was to ultimately again to reveal and to make known the ribono shel olam's presence in this world. Shrak bishvil ze baha adam li olam ze v'ze simchas achius. V'ze b'chinas kol agalios she'over na'isra she'ikar mugalas ha'nefesh she'richoka ma'abiyah b'shama shamayim. And the Rebbe says, let's focus for a moment on our national condition. Our national condition until Mashiach comes is we go from one diaspora to another, one dispersion to another. And this represents really the epitome of sadness. The epitome of sadness is when I'm unsettled, I'm far from my land, I'm far from my people, and therefore, by definition, I am far from my God. There is an atzvos, there is a sadness in galus. Because again, remember, as a result of the original sin of Adam, the perpetuation of that sin by every subsequent generation, and the avoda of the great tzaddikim is the avoda, the Rebbe says, of temura. The avoda, the service, or I should say, the effort of exchange. The ikar haberur, ayyidei simcha, ayyidei shi'hapu hayagon va'anachal simcha. Shehu b'chinas mechiras lo seif mitzrayim. So this is really an incredible, incredible idea. So the Rebbe says, let me tell the rest of this outside. So the Rebbe says like this, the greatest accomplishment in life is when you're able to go ahead and you're able to take sadness and pain and you're able to transform it into joy. You're able to somehow see the good in your circumstances to the point that that which is painful is now able ultimately to serve on some level as a source of simcha. And when a person is able to take his pain and transform it into joy, that by definition is the pinnacle of Judaic accomplishment. So the Rebbe says, the whole story with Yosef is this exact example. Yosef is sold, pain. Yaakov even thinks his son is dead. It's all pain. And what happens? Ki Yosef b'chinas hislavos asimcha. But the amazing part about Yosef is that Yosef never goes ahead and loses hope. Yosef never loses his optimism. Yosef is the one who is able to go ahead and be b'simcha, even when all the circumstances around him are falling apart. But that was Yosef. Yaakov wasn't like that. For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu is sitting Shiva. For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu is mourning a dramatic loss. For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu has absolutely no idea why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing all of this to him. What did I do? Where was my misstep? What was my transgression that I deserve this? Yaakov Avinu lived in a state of atzvos. But when he comes down to Mitzrayim, and he ultimately sees that there was a plan, when he comes down to Mitzrayim and he sees his son, who he thought was dead, is not only not dead, not only biologically alive, but is spiritually alive as well. Not only spiritually alive, but he's an incredible, indispensable part of Egyptian society, yet has maintained consistent fidelity to his Abrahamic values. He will not compromise. He will not yield. He will not change. He maintains his adherence to his spiritual ideals, yet he's in this land that's so foreign. And in that moment, ultimately, again, Yaakov Avinu understood that there was a hashkacha, that there was divine providence, that there was a plan, that ultimately, again, through all of this pain, came such incredible simcha. Came simcha that ultimately, again, the family was reunited. Came simcha because Yosef HaTzadik was only able to actualize through these difficult circumstances. Simcha, as we said, the family reunification. Simcha that it's his son who is supporting the civilized world during these years of intense famine. And it's there, says the Rebbe, that Yaakov Avinu enters into the Heichal HaTemulos. He enters into the chamber of the exchange. And he goes ahead and he exchanges his sa'ar for simcha. Ribono shel olam, I understand that in the midst of all of my pain, there was incredible joy. Because in the midst of all of my pain, you were orchestrating something dramatic. In the midst of all of my pain, you are ultimately, again, laying the groundwork for an incredible, unimaginable plan to actualize. In the midst of all of my pain, you are helping my children to grow, my son Yosef, his children to grow, my other children to grow, me to grow. Our growth came through this adversity. And because Yaakov Avinu realizes this, he's able to find simcha. He engages in the process of temura. He exchanges the tsar for simcha. And when you do temura, both the original item and the new item both become consecrated. That energy that was expended for tsar now ultimately again becomes simcha. Ki echali ha-temuros rotzim behefech lahamir lahachlif akol chas ha-shalom ad shi efshar levar lesaper svarosem bros min ha-emes king gates of ha-nekudosh ha-gdoi tzadikim ha-mitiyim ola al hakol dehim memirin u'machlifin letova ad shem ha-hafkin ha-yagon va-anachol ha-simcha. So this is really an incredibly beautiful idea. So the Rebbe says, now we begin to understand the Medrash. What does the Medrash mean when it says that the 17 years, the tov years that Yaakov Avinu spent in Mitzrayim were the years of simcha, the years of shalva, almost to nachas ruach, almost to a greater degree than his time in Eretz Yisrael. But now says the Rebbe, it makes sense because it was only in Mitzrayim that Yaakov Avinu had the opportunity and the ability to do something incredible, to transform tsar into simcha, to transform yagon va'anocha into simcha, to transform pain into positivity, to transform adversity into joy, to transform tragedy into incredible jubilation. This was the opportunity that Yaakov Avinu had in Mitzrayim. So for those 17 years, every single day, he's reflecting on his ability to take that past tsar, to turn it into simcha. It's in Mitzrayim where he was able to engage in the process of temura, of exchange. And therefore, yes, as Rabbi Nachman, the years in Mitzrayim were the best years. The years in Mitzrayim were the holiest years. They were the tov years of Yaakov Avinu. This, says Rebbe, is the message. And of course, the message for us is incredibly profound as well. Yaakov Avinu was privileged to be able to see the turnaround with his own eyes. He was able to see what he thought was the end of his world really just become the beginning of his world. A lot of times in life, we don't get to see things turn around the way Yaakov Avinu did during a lifetime, during the span of just, I mean, not just a couple of years, over two decades. But Yaakov Avinu was able to see, was zocheh to see, the unfolding of the incredible hashkacha. Sometimes we don't get the opportunity to see it in such a dramatic way, but even if we don't get to see it, we still have to find the koach to believe it. Our avoda is to turn our tragedy into simcha. Our avoda is to try ultimately again to find the good in every one of our circumstances, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how difficult it may be. Our avoda is to constantly enter into the Heichal HaTemuros, to enter into the Chamber of Temura. The Chamber of Temura is where I take my pain and I ask myself, how can I transform this pain to joy? What good could I find in my circumstances? What light can I find in my darkness? How could I exchange this adversity for some type of triumphant simcha? That's our avoda. To enter and to try to figure things out in the Heichal HaTemuros. And if we're able to do that, then even if we find ourselves in Mitzrayim, in the Mitzarim, in the difficult moments of life, we'll be zocheh emeret Hashem to experience incredible and beautiful luminescent simcha. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening, a good Ner Shabbos, a restful Shabbos, and a wonderful day.